Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California, and that it is today. It's about 80 degrees, and I had my breakfast out on the deck feeling that wonderful sunshine on my face. It just doesn't get any better than that. Well, maybe it does if you're on a cruise, but it was pretty terrific. Hey, tonight it's all about self-love with my friend Lee Harris. And it's a real special treat for me because it's Lee and I together. I was going to say that I'm interviewing him, but it's more like we're conversing back and forth as good friends. Don't you just love this modern technology as Lee and I are seeing each other as we talk? And he's in the UK and I'm in the US. The world is just so small nowadays, isn't it? Now, you will want to stay tuned, especially for the last 15 minutes of the show, where Lee has produced something incredible that has never been heard before. And I can guarantee you that your spine is going to tingle and you're going to love it. So stay all the way to the end. So let's listen to these words and we'll be right back with Law of Attraction Talk Radio. The University of Attraction. Where else can you take free, interactive courses from international scientists, medical doctors, spiritual leaders, and experts in the field of the Law of Attraction? At the university, you will have your personal questions answered, enhance your intuitive skills, communicate with the angels, fill your life with music, and free meditation and hypnosis downloads. Sign up today. Go to loaradionetwork.com and click on the University of Attraction. The doors are wide open, waiting for you now.
Greetings, I'm Dr. Bill Path, and I'm the author of the motivational book Moments of Forever. And I'm also excited to tell you that I'm now a faculty member at the brand new University of Attraction. In February and March, I'll be offering a course entitled Discovering the True Power and Importance of Being You. And among other things, I want to talk about the six essential elements for a more meaningful life. Now, if this sounds like something that would be of interest to you, I sure hope that you can join me for these sessions. The first class starts on Tuesday, February 1st. That's 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern.
Hello, I'm Melody Green from the Creative Soul Cafe. I can't wait to share with you my new workshop, The Soul's Journey. It's interactive, hands-on, and runs for 12 weeks at the University of Attraction. With discussion groups and weekly modules to download, we'll explore the hidden codes in your DNA and use my new tool, the Emotional Bagua, to help create your success. If you're ready to follow your passionate life purpose, claim your place at The Soul's Journey. Subscribe now.
You know, the response to the University of Attraction has been nothing short of incredible. I'm getting so many wonderful emails from people telling me how much they love the courses by Dr. Sereni Pillay or Bill Path or Pat Lynn Kyle. And then there are those that are talking and visiting with the angels. If you have not signed up for the U of A, you will want to immediately before these courses end so that you can ask your personal questions directly to the faculty members. This is where you can mix and mingle with such high energy people such as Derek Rydell, Constance Arnold, Barbara Gilbranson, and Melody Green. If you're not attracting what you are wanting, then this is the place where you will get your answers so that you can move forward in your life. This is what you have been waiting for. So join today and come and play with us all. Did you know that Law of Attraction Radio Network is heard in over 120 countries?
It's so amazing. And it's even more amazing the rapid expansion of the network, my show, and the University of Attraction. As a matter of fact, it's expanded so much. I am putting together a dream team of experienced and tech-savvy people from around the world who will help me grow this network to greater heights. So if you have experience in computers or PR experience, or you have a proven track record in internet sales, oh, I would love to talk to you and see if our energy will match. The most dominant criteria that I'm looking for is that you have a sincere desire to get this important and magnificent message out to all corners of the world. The rewards are beyond description. I would love to hear from dedicated and committed people that truly want to shift the consciousness of the world. So please contact me at jewels@loaradionetwork.com. That's jewels@loaradionetwork.com. I also want to mention that we have a new healing show from the Netherlands called Shum Soul Experience with Stefan. This is an incredible show where Stefan shares his thoughts the first 30 minutes and then has a powerful healing session during your last 30 minutes. To get the full benefits, stereo headphones are suggested. This healing is so different from the previous energy healings that you've heard. You're going to love this. Every Saturday there's a new show, so come to loaradionetwork.com and click on the play button to hear through our high-def media player. And while you're browsing the LOA Radio Network site, check out Gaia's Art to Manifesting. Her Tamil show is up and running right now, so send all of your friends who speak the language Tamil. They're really going to love it because she's talking to this very powerful man, Sukhi Savan, from India. Now let's get on with tonight's show. Lee Harris does not need any introduction because you all know him, but for the sake of our first-time listeners, let me tell you about my friend who lives in Brighton, England. Lee Harris is an accomplished singer, songwriter, musician, channeler of Zachary, Zephariah, and Ziadora, and Lee is very psychic, giving his monthly energy forecasts that are amazingly accurate. Besides all that, Lee's essence is pure love inside and out. I absolutely love this guy and his incredible energy, so I am so delighted to say, welcome back, Lee, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Hello, hi, great to be here.
What a treat for us to be together, Lee. And I know that the listeners have really missed you.
Oh, it's really it's lovely for me because, you know, I was laughing today just thinking, how I've managed to only be away 5 weeks and I'm back. So I'm happy about that because I've missed the show and it's lovely to do it with you.
How's the new album coming?
It's going really well. It's a lot of work in a good way because you have to kind of journey through it. And we're currently working on 14 or 15 songs, which are all fully produced and fully orchestrated. And, you know, they have fully produced arrangements behind them. So it's wonderful. I work on it about a week, about half days. And you just keep chipping away. And every now and then you hit gold. And no, I'm really loving the process and really excited about the completion, which we think should be somewhere in April, I hope.
How exciting. Do you have a title for it yet, or is that the last thing?
Yes. No, we do. The title is Golden World.
Ooh, that's fabulous. Yeah. Lisa, when you compose songs and music, is it channeled information that's coming through?
They're all channeled, really, because the music kind of stalks me in the same way that messages can stalk me. So the melodies, and sometimes with lyrics attached, will come through immediately. And often fully formed. Sometimes a whole song will just come through fully formed. And if I go to the piano and use the piano to get the structure down, then, you know, you have the song. The lyrics are something that I often do afterwards, but I pull those through a lot of the time too. So it seems to be a combination with the lyrics of, you know, grounding in the song that convey the energy of what the song's trying to talk about or the emotion, or literally just sentences that drop through that aren't necessarily sentences I had logically thought of, but that just appeared. So it's very similar. It's different in another way too, because I find the sound so powerful. You know, when I'm channeling or bringing through a psychic message, there's a certain thing that happens to my voice that's a little different. But when you're singing or when you're working with melody, it's all just so encoded. And, you know, music's probably my favorite art. It's really lovely for me to be working in it and discovering in it. I think that's how I feel about the album. It's a real journey of discovery. It really is.
Wow, you are definitely a right brain person, because you are so musical and so intuitive and so psychic. It all resides in the right hand side of the brain.
That would probably be true then. Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Lee, let's get personal. So Valentine's Day is right around the corner. How's your love life?
How's my love life? My love life's really good. My love life is currently with myself, which is unusual for me in about the last 7 years. I kind of worked out around New Year that in about the last 7.5 years, I'd been in relationships for virtually all of that time. I'd had a lot of back-to-back relationships. And so, I had a feeling that at least the first half of this year or more, it was important that I spent time to myself and with myself. So my love life is what's lovely for me, actually, funnily enough, is that I've been having some really beautiful friendships with a number of my ex-partners who've featured really heavily in my life the last few months. So that's really joyous to me. That really feels a wonderful thing, you know?
So you're really focusing in on self-love now, right?
Yeah. That's become stronger for me in the last year, because I identified it as one of my weaknesses a few years ago. It was an area that I found really challenging for several reasons. And I found externalized love a lot easier than self-love. Or I'd got myself into some patterns where it was very easy for me to send all of my energy out and leave nothing for myself, or not give myself time. So yeah, that's also one of the reasons that I'm really enjoying being single, and I think needing to be single at the moment, because my life's very full anyway, really, especially with doing the album and my healing work, and then, you know, friends and family. So yeah, self-love has become, to me, I think it's the clearest truth of life that I've realized is so important, because I've recognized that if people are loved externally, it will do something for them. It will do something for, you know, whether they have wounds or lack of self-belief, but it just won't do it. You know, the only thing that will do it is self-love and being able to get past your own self-judgments, your own lack of self-nurturing. And it's funny, a friend and I were talking the other day about self-nurturing and self-soothing, and how if you weren't nurtured or soothed as a child, very, very well by parents or teachers in the way that you needed, because obviously we're all so individual, then you often don't have that peace for yourself. You often can't self-nurture. It's quite difficult for you to, you can be very nurturing to other people. So yeah, one of the things that I noticed a lot in the healing world was this as an area for lots of people who are out there, you know, wanting to help change the world through loving others or through helping other people release their own whatever you want to call it, their own areas of limitation or places they could grow. And so for me, it was a journey that I've spent a lot of time on in the last year in myself, and then my work has started to take a natural focus towards it, because it does to be the core of everything.
Why is it that we humans forget to love ourselves? Is it maybe because of self-esteem issues, or we just don't understand the concept of love? What do you think the reason is?
I think it's a combination of many different things, and I think with every individual, with all the people that I've worked with over the years, it seems so specific. So I don't think it's just one thing, but it can be exactly what you said, that the low self-esteem is high, and I see this a lot in women and in people who are strong in feminine energy. That's usually a strength in terms of nurturing others, but actually giving to themselves is a much harder area. Or I guess the biggest example would be, you know, how hard on yourself are you? You know, are you very encouraging to all your friends about how good they are, how great they are, how they look? And then, you know, you look in the mirror and all you see is your flaws, or, you know, you do something like you create a piece of art and all you do is rip it. You know? And it was interesting for me with the music journey, because I found a place in myself returning to singing after not really singing for a few years. I recognized how hard I was being on my own voice. I was being really critical. And if I wasn't able to make certain sounds immediately, or, you know, if my voice wasn't coming, I just heard this voice in my head. That was 2 years ago. And I was like, wow, because I'd released so much self-judgment in so many other areas. So I think life is layers of an onion, you know, and you tend to walk yourself into a new area and find the limits. And so I think self-judgment is often the biggest. It seems to be the most universal, I would say, problem where self-love is concerned, self-judgment. And low self-esteem really is a byproduct of self-judgment, you know, because if you're judging yourself harshly, you're not going to think highly of yourself.
Boy, that really hits me between the eyes, because I am such a harsh judge of myself. I'm at times my own worst enemy. I'm so mean to myself. I need to focus in on self-love myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's funny, because I think what I've noticed, because, for example, I guess my internalized self-judgment and lack of self-liking when I was a teenager manifested in bulimia and an eating disorder. And then I got over that pattern and that cycle by about my early 20s and went through, you know, a journey to heal it and to look at it. But is, you know, if you have what I would call a syndrome, so if it's an addiction or a, you know, like whatever it is, if you have a syndrome where you put your lack of self-love, you can clear the syndrome and heal the syndrome, but then you get finer and finer layers of it. So what I then really started to get clear about in myself, especially the more I worked as a healer with others, and the more that pushed me through my own stuff at a fast rate, then I really noticed how the more you start to feel, you really feel some of those original feelings that were being suppressed by that you couldn't feel before. And I think generationally, you know, we have to give ourselves a break, because if you look at the parents of the generations of pretty much everyone on earth at the moment, you know, whatever age you are, whether you're 70 or whether you're 25, parenting has become more compassionate generally. I'm not saying every parent that you see out there is compassionate, because I see all sorts of things going on out there, but generally the way that we treat ourselves in the media, although there's this strong prevalence on judgment still, and, you know, models who've been airbrushed to heaven on the front of magazines, you know, it's like, it's not true, none of it's true, and it's what we're all looking at and thinking is the ideal, and actually, you know, those people don't exist. But I think more importantly, what is existing in society is more honest communication about emotions. And I know that certainly the war generation, or the post-war generation around the 40s and 50s, that was a hell of a time to be alive. And so a lot of the repression that then started to lift in the 60s and 70s, I think, has paved the way for more emotional communication. So we're a more emotionally open society, which I think is only a good thing ultimately for the future. However, you know, the emotional opening that's taking place right now is it can be pretty messy, as we can see, because a lot's coming up for people. So, I mean, I think I've kind of gone off on a tangent, but what I'm trying to say there, and the parallel I guess I'm trying to draw, is we have to give ourselves a break based on the generational guidance that we had. And I'm sure, you know, 30 years from now, that the next generation will have to be doing the same thing. They'll have to be going, oh, our parents and our grandparents, they knew this, and now we know this. So I think a lot of the lack of self-love comes from what we're shown, because we do just pick up everything from each other. So if you're shown how to love yourself, or if someone loves you at an early age, you know, you're going to be well on the way. If you're shown the opposite of that and you internalize it and you run with it in yourself, it becomes a pattern.
So it's also about collective consciousness, because what you're saying is as we are starting to evolve, then the self-love is going to be more prevalent. And that just makes total sense. So like you said, everybody is going through a lot right now. Look what's going on in Egypt. How would self-love be able to help that?
Well, it's interesting. Earlier this year, 2011 Year of Illumination, it was called. And it's you can see it on YouTube. You can see it from my website, leeharrisenergy.com. Well, it was really interesting. Whenever I do messages like that, I pull them through, basically. They're psychic messages. And it was interesting to me doing that video and then stepping away from it and hearing it and reflecting on the message for myself as a human being, because it really talks about how we maintain our center. And it says that this year you are going to see so much, you know, hitting the fan. And it's really important to hold your center. And I've been tracking the Egypt thing a little bit. And I have a few opinions. I mean, you know, I think the internet has massively influenced the way we're all involved in each other's cultures at lightning speed. I mean, within a decade or two, suddenly everyone has an opinion on what's going on in every country. Yeah. And I think what it's doing is it's very quickly forcing things up. But of course, when you force things up at such speed, you're going to get all of shadows around them as well. So that's one side of it. And the other thing that the video message really talked about was the more you can focus on your own center, it's going to be more important than ever, because you will see people around you and, you know, sometimes ourselves going through stuff that we've not gone through before. And it's such a fast time to be living in terms of the feelings that you're processing as well. It's like all this stuff is going on around and outside you. And funny, I was on the underground this morning in London, traveling back to Brighton, and I had a carriage, and everybody was just so depressed. I was really just struck. I was just standing looking, and everyone looked miserable and depressed. And then I just turned to my right, and it was wonderful. There was this man, I guess he was, you know, in his 40s, talking to another man in a suit, his friend. And they were laughing and smiling. And I just, it's funny because I looked at him and my face just turned, I just had this massive smile on my face in response. And I just thought, wow, if we were all just smiling, you know, if we were all able to be smiling and laughing, wouldn't this place be different, you know? And I also had to remind myself, okay, well, you just caught the smile from him. So now, you know, as you authentically feel to, spread the smiles around a bit, Lee, you know. So it was a good moment on the tube, because, you know, you can find the light everywhere if you just keep seeking it. You know, the days that you're processing stuff through yourself, just be really kind to yourself, because those days aren't easy, and they certainly aren't easy if you beat yourself up, judge yourself, and remember that the mind goes crazy when you're emotionally processing. You know, the mind to throw up all sorts of thoughts and beliefs and judgments. The mind has about 8 thoughts to every feeling. So just on those days, be really good to yourself.
I think you said something very, very important, in that we need to be aware of our surroundings and see the lighter side of light instead of focusing and staying in the darker side or the shadows. I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, and the other thing that interestingly has come through messages that I've delivered at seminars and in the energy forecasts I do a lot recently is nature. Get to nature, seriously. Ah. It's so important. And I'm getting to the beach every day in Brighton or the park, because it's really helping everybody who is sensitive or aware to really rebalance and ground. Even if you know, just get 10 minutes, it's enough. And I'm really conscious as I'm walking along the pavements these days to look at the trees as much as I can and to make sure I seek nature, because I'm doing a lot of walking at the moment in Brighton. So, yeah, I'm really conscious of seeking that. I'm really following those directions, and it's really helping, I have to say, because, you know, you see life, and I think at the moment there's so much being thrown up that has a destruction or a death energy around it. And it's important actually for us to hold life in ourselves as much as we can. I mean, at times like these, more than ever, that there has to be balance to some of the chaos, and that comes from stillness, love, and life for me. So those are three aspects that when I'm feeling stillness, love, or life inside myself, I'm really grateful. I'm really, you know, I really express gratitude for it, because it's a real commodity.
I agree with you. You have some questions that people sent you that you want to answer, and I know that they want to hear them. So you want to?
We do. We have some questions here on Facebook. Thank you, people. Okay, this is interesting. This is a great question from Jeremy, and I think maybe it stems from what we were just talking about, but I'll read it because it's a great question. I truly believe that love will cure the world. With perfect love, I see a world where there wouldn't be any war, military, jails, welfare, homelessness, disease, borders. With real unconditional love, the world would be in perfect harmony. And if we can raise the planetary vibration to love, do you believe the problems of the world could be cured? Do you ever see this happening, or am I a hopeless I do believe. I love that question.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting. I really don't know. I don't know if within my lifetime, I'm 34, so, you know, let's say I live into my 80s, I really don't know within my lifetime that we're going to see that level of universal peace. But I do truly believe that we're going to see a major, major upgrade, like a major shift. And I think it's interesting that Jeremy has talked about a world without borders, because I think that's kind of why all of this is happening. You know, the amount of people who we're literally mixing cultures more and more than ever before. So what it's doing is it's trying to create unification, but what we're meeting is the war and the resistance and the unification. And it's interesting, I lived in Holland last year, and there's a lot of talk from people in Holland about, you know, the fact that the country is no longer as Dutch as it was. And I occasionally hear people then talking about, you know, England has really changed, and it's much more of a melting pot now in terms of the people living here. Now, I actually really enjoy it myself. I think it's a wonderful thing. But I can see how people are having to adjust. They're having to adjust to new energies coming towards them. So in answer to your question, Jeremy, I think I do believe that what you're saying is true. I believe that with higher levels of love and acceptance and unification, there's no question that all of the things that you're talking about wouldn't be in existence.
And again, Lee, you're talking about self-love. So if everybody becomes more self-loving, the shift of consciousness occurs, and things are so much better for not only you individually, but collectively. The world shifts to a better place, that what we do individually, lovingly, helps the world. Let's go on to the next question.
Yes, we have here one from Debbie, and she's saying, any tips on how to self-love would be lovely. Well, there's something that consistently comes up with this question, and it's something I've delivered in seminars, and it's something I've given to personal clients. The way to just kind of, if you like, bypass any blocks to self-love with this, very logical and practical about it. Write a list of usually 30 things is good that you really enjoy that make you feel good. So, you know, a few of these things will be very simple, inexpensive things. They will be things like listening to your favorite piece of music, sitting in your garden. And then other things might have a cost or more of a time attached. So having a massage or going away for a day to the beach nearby. And you write this list of these 30 things that you love to do for you, for yourself. Enjoy. And then you commit to 30 days of giving yourself one of those things every day. And the beauty of this is it's a practical exercise. So you might have certain days where you're just in a really, you know, not in the space that you would have normally given yourself something loving. But the fact that you've committed to 30 days of it, it gets stuff moving through you and gets you into a new pattern, which is every day you stop and give yourself something. And what I like about it is that's why the list is so varied. It's easy to do because some things are 5 minutes long and some things are a day. So you can pick whatever suits and fits your day. So that's a really good place to start, just writing down 30 things you love to give yourself or receive, and then giving yourself one of those gifts every day.
That's an excellent idea. I love it. I'm committing myself right now to doing that. That's wonderful. Good.
Great. We have another question here, a great question from Robin. And her question is, how do I, or even should I, love and open-heartedness for family members who consistently tear me down and who bring negative energy to my life? Is it important to actively love your sisters, i.e. maintain close contact, constantly try to make peace, heal old wounds? Or is it sometimes more loving to sever ties that create unrest and unloving thoughts and encounters? So this is a great question because I think it's something that many people have gone through. There are no hard and fast rules, of course. All of us are different and we're all on our own journey. But there are a couple of things in your question to address. You've talked about family members consistently tearing you down and bringing negative energy to your life. Well, if that's your experience, that has to be stopped. So whether or not you take a break from communication to do this, or whether or not you consistently point out to them what they're doing. So for example, let's say a family member is always putting down your hair, you know, every time they see you, they moan about your hair, and you recognize there's this constant negativity towards you and your hairstyle. You just, every time they do it, you go, you're being negative hair again. You're being negative about my hair again. You're being negative about my hair again. You just keep saying it. So it's a little bit like, you know, when you've got someone who's in a negative pattern, to create a boundary and to train them out of it. If you don't want to walk away or have a break and you want to keep seeing them, then you just keep pointing out what they're doing. And eventually they will come to a consciousness around it and they will change the pattern. Now, depending on where they're at and what they go through to get there, you know, it might have a confrontational energy, or it might be a lot simpler than you think. They might be uncomfortable having that pointed out to them a few times. And some people are more unconscious than you realize. But what I would say to you here, Robin, is, it sounds pretty heavy. I mean, what you're describing doesn't sound light or easy. It sounds like you there's definitely some strong energies coming at you here of judgment and of bringing you down. And if you're currently trying to move through self-judgment or raise your own self-esteem, having that banging into you regularly is not going to help. So would suggest is to take a little break if you feel you need to do that, to just, you know, say, I'm just going to have some time to myself for a few months, and I want to do that on my own. I want to experience what I want to experience. Or, you know, to be direct and say, I can't see you for a while because of this, this, and this. There are no rules. You have to do it the way that you want to do it, because this is a life lesson. This is about boundaries, and families are great with boundaries. You know, they really teach us about boundaries, because family is a blood tie and a tie that goes back to birth, and often there have been patterns associated with family that we tend to move through and heal or clean up, if you like, when we go through our awakening or get older. So it sounds to me like you definitely need to create a firm boundary to some of these energies, and that way you'll be able to build yourself up. What I would say about, you're talking about stay loving and open-hearted to them. You can still do that. You know, you can do that inside yourself. You can recognize that for preservation, you're stepping away from the relationship for a while so that you can get clearer about your boundary. Or if you want to stay in the relationship, strict with them about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and keep telling them, I never speak to you in a negative way. I never speak to you in a negative way, yet you consistently speak to me in a negative way. Why do you do that? Ask them questions, because it's often the thing that you can forget to do when you're trying to create a boundary. You'll tell people why you want them to stop doing something, but what can be very powerful is to try and get someone into consciousness around why they're doing it, is to ask them, why are they doing that? Why are you saying this? You know, from a genuine place of wanting to understand. Yeah, this is why judgment is so crucial when you're dealing with boundaries, because if you judge what the other person is doing from your perspective and your reality, you're just judging them, because obviously they aren't living in your perspective or reality, otherwise they wouldn't be behaving this way. So often looking at their world as well, you know, with the behavior that you're talking about, it's very likely that they aren't experiencing high degrees of love from other people, or they aren't being highly supported by other people, or they're used to that kind of negativity flying back and forth. So you also have to cut them some slack. If that's where they are and who they are, you know, you also have to, you just have to recognize that difference and figure out how you want to be in relationship to them if you're so very different, and how much time you want to spend. And remember that everything's in the moment. You know, things don't have to be for the next 2 years. It might just be that you need to just take a week or two to yourself, and that's okay.
Do you have a siblings, Lee?
I do. I have a brother and a sister.
Really?
Who are older than me. Yeah.
Oh, you're the baby in the family, huh?
I am the baby in the family, yeah. It's nice to be called the baby when you're 34, Jules. Yeah, no, they're great, my brother and sister. They're really, really wonderful, wonderful people. And they have fantastic as well. So I have 7 nieces and nephews from my brother and sister.
Wow.
Yeah, they're great.
Lee, you're going to be in San Francisco soon.
I am, yes. Yeah, really excited about that. It's been 3 years, so I'm going back to do an event called Divine Partnerships, which is on the 26th of March, a Saturday. It's a one-day seminar.
And that's all about partnerships, love.
It's a wide topic, as things often are when I kind of do my energy work days. But it's going to look at, in a way, 3 different aspects of partnership. So really embracing and practicing the art of self-love, which is key for your divine partnership with yourself. And then if you have a partnership, a relationship already in your life, or you're looking to attract one, it's also key to the kind of relationship you're having with other people, you know, other partners. And then it's also to do with the partnership within yourself with the divine. That was the other aspect of the title, really. I'm very big on grounding the energetic and awakening. I'm very big on making sure that while we do go high and experience things at a certain height, we have to bring it back to the body, and we have to ground it in this reality. So Divine Partnerships is a day that's going to look at various challenges in that. So particularly peace and war, and those two aspects that exist within the self and within relationships. And just looking at those two as energies. And also then marrying yourself, marrying your own body. How do you love yourself physically, spiritually, emotionally, all of these things. So it's going to be a very inclusive day. There are going to be 5 sections throughout the day. And there will be channels. I'll answer audience questions. So I'll have people come and sit at the front with me. And I'll ask people who feel they've got something burning in them to come and sit at the front with me, and we'll work through something for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or so, and I'll just help guide them through it with what I receive intuitively. And that's a really great thing for a group, because inevitably the person who comes and sits at the front is just perfect, and their story or whatever they're going through or whatever it is they want to focus on is perfect for the group at large. And there'll be a couple of exercises for the group to do as well. So, no, it's going to be very much a day of moving energy, shifting energy, and getting more into a vibration of the divine partnership with the self and the divine partnerships that you can have with others.
Wow, that sounds fabulous. Having been to your seminars, I've got to tell everyone that no matter where you're sitting in the room, you can feel Lee's vibration. You can feel his energy. And it's one of pure, unconditional love. No matter where you sit in the room, you can feel Lee. inside and out, he oozes love.
You know, thank you. made me shy. I've gone very British all of a sudden. but no, you know, the funniest thing is, to me, those days really are pure love. You know, for me, they're an experience of joining with a group. And that's not to say that we're always dealing with love. You know, sometimes we're looking at the shadows, and whether, you know, if I'm working with someone, and, you know, we'll look at those things too. That's part of the deal. But there's something really special about group work. I love working with individuals, and I do that every week. But I really enjoy the group work, because you get a group together and you hold a focus and an intention, and you all move there together, and real magic happens. So no, those days for me are a real feeling of love and connection with people as well. You know, whether we're focusing on love or whether we're moving through called stuff. You know, the great thing about moving through the stuff is then you just get to the next level of love. So it's a, yeah, it's a win-win.
Lee, now you do private readings, right?
Yeah, I do. I do them every week. I normally do about 4 or 6 a week. Yeah, I never do more than about 6 a week.
So Lee, tell everyone how they can get more information about San Francisco, private readings. And I also hear you have a new download available.
Yes, I am actually, which hopefully will be out in a few days. It's called A Self-Love Journey, funnily enough. And I was at, I did a day seminar on self-love, literally the first day I'd ever done with the title Self-Love, in Berlin in December. So I'm actually finalizing what will be on the recording in the next couple of days, but it will certainly have 2 channels from the day and some of the talks that I gave and some of the Q&A. So it's going to be an extensive recording. Should be available this week. And the website is leeharrisenergy.com. And for the people who used to tune into my show and hear my energy forecast every month, I write an energy forecast every month for free that's on my blog. So if you sign up to the newsletter, you can get that. And it's essentially just giving you a heads up on what the emotional and energetic weather forecast is for the coming month. Yeah, that's kind of what I do.
And those energy forecasts are so accurate. I can't get over how on target they are.
What's funny about that for me is also I reread them myself, because it's really interesting how they play into, you know, for me writing them. I write them psychically at the beginning of the month, and then I go back and check like halfway through just to see if there's any tips.
No, that's good. See, you pay attention. That's good.
I do, yeah.
Well, Lee, we're at that part of the show where you have something special that we're going to play for the listening audience. Tell us what that is.
This is something that hasn't yet been heard, so I wanted to bring it to the show today. It's essentially an energy activation. That's the term I would call it. It's like a meditation. It's like a guided meditation. But I recorded this in early January. I was in the music studio one day, and I suddenly just felt to do something. So I turned on the mic and recorded this, which is called You Are Love. And there is original music behind it, which is very much part of the experience, I feel, and I recorded the words to the music. So it's essentially a channeled piece that will invite you to experience more self-love for yourself. So you can sit back, listen to it, and take the experience. And I think if you listen to it more than once, it will have a positive transformational effect. That's the feeling I have about it. So nice to be playing it here today.
Okay, everyone, get ready, relax, sit back and listen to this phenomenal energy activation by Lee Harris called You Are Love.
You are clear. You are ready. There is nothing in the past in the way of your future. There is nothing in your future that will be anything like your past. You are clear. You are ready. This path you've been walking has taken you in many directions. You have felt feelings that you did not expect to feel. Feelings of love, feelings of grief, feelings of anger, feelings of joy. The spectrum has been experienced. And here you are in the center of that spectrum. At any moment you can move into any one of those feelings. At any moment you can experience those feelings with or through another being, a crowd, a group, or just you, because you are everything. You are the world. And your biggest job here on Earth is to love yourself and to learn to love yourself. And that won't always be easy. Sometimes that will be very, very challenging. But many times, that journey will be very, very wonderful. And with that goal as your focus, everything else will fall into place. Greater opening, greater compassion, greater passion, greater desire to be here, the desire to be. When you learn to nurture and love yourself as you would another, when you give yourself that attention, things change very fast. Things move in you. The joy of touch you can receive from another becomes a self. You can hold yourself and feel held in so many ways when you apply self-love to your life. Love is who you are. It is the essence of you. Love is who you are. It is the essence of you. Breathe that in. And again, breathe in the love that you are. It is ever present. And sometimes it is just to the right of your shoulder, on the days where you feel you cannot find it. It is always inches away from you, waiting, watching, loving you, while you go about the business of undoing whatever it is you are undoing. Undoing whatever it is you are undoing. What have you just been undoing in yourself these past days or weeks? Have you been undoing grief? Have you been undoing depression? Have you been undoing a tangled relationship? Have you been undoing self-criticism? You will know you've been trying to undo these things because they will have taken all of your focus. When these emotions or energies come to you, they are asking you to see them. They are asking you to free them. You can free everything. You can free yourself. You can love yourself. You are free to do this. You are free to love yourself. Even if you feel you are in the most confined prison. Even if you feel there is not love around you. These are the most important times to practice self-love. Because everything is vibrational. And all of the vibrational frequencies that we exist in and around every day, and those that we hold within ourselves, are like magnets to one another, jigsaw pieces sometimes. So when you and your frequency become love, then love comes to you. But the beauty of self-love is that when love comes to you, you do not need to hold it, to fear it, to believe it is the key. You will simply recognize love sent your way as a mirror, and you will know that you are holding that love for another and sending it back. Love is the gold of the earth. There is so much to love on our planet. There is so much to love about people. There is so much to love about yourself. And you have barely come close. And this self-love has nothing to do with ego. It has nothing to do with a perception of why you should be loved or whether you deserve to be loved. This self-love is a pure remembrance that everything is love. There is no division. There is no division from Source. Any perceived division is illusion. You are everything. And when you remember this, everything and anything is possible. Everything and anything is possible. So breathe. Fill your belly. Stroke your belly as you breathe. Love this part of your body, this part of yourself. Caress it. Hold it. Fill it with breath. You have no idea how lovable you are. It's incredible. You are so very lovable, and so very loved. It gives you everything you need for all of your senses. So, if you are ready to awaken to greater love, repeat this after me, aloud. I am everything in creation. I am pure love in the human body. I am here to share, expand, and grow. I am love, and love will always find me. I welcome love with open arms. I welcome love with open arms. I welcome myself with open arms. Breathe. You are clear.
Wow, Lee, that was so fabulous. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for coming on the show. I have thoroughly enjoyed every second of it.
No, I've had a lovely time. Thank you for having me on the show. Just big love and hello to all the listeners and to those people who listened to me over the 6 months too. It's nice to connect with you all again, and I hope you're all doing well.
Well, it would be hard not to feel good after that fantastic energy activation. So thank you. And we are out of time. So for all the dear, wonderful, incredible listeners out there, have a great week. And I'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show. For more information, go to lawofattractiontools.com or contact Jules personally at jules@loaradionetwork.com.